Accession number 22074, Reel 5.
Frank Quelch, Reel 5. So, you're in the Leeds Hospital. And
yeah.
You were in bed all the time you were in Leeds,
yeah,
were
yeah.
you? Yes, yeah. I mean, your injuries were quite serious, weren't they? I mean,
they weren't much to look at, I can tell you.
Mm. Mm.
But I never felt any ill effects from them.
Yeah. What, no pain at the time, you mean?
No.
Yeah.
In this time when... I must have had some pain because... I remember I had morphine once. You know, but I don't remember it in pain. So I said to the nurse, can I have some more of that morphine? No, she said. You know. So I must have been in pain, but I don't remember it.
No. Funny, perhaps you blocked it out. Because you must have had some sort of open wounds and so on.
Oh, yeah.
Dressing in
it. Because it was summertime again, very hot, July, you know. Mm. I remember one of my things was to kill flies, you know, because you had a patch of dried blood on your sheet, you know. And the fly got him, you know. And the nurse would say, how many did you get today? A little pile of dead flies there, you know. Yeah.
Did you have any contact while you were in hospitals from your regiment or battery or?
No.
You just.
That's right.
Field,
yeah, that's right. Yeah, oh. Yeah.
Mm.
And I didn't get any of my parents or anybody come until we'd gone down to. What am I talking about? When I was in Aldershot, it was terrible because my hair had grown longer.
Oh.
My hair was grown and I had a beard. And my teeth were black. Mm. You know, I felt really rough.
Yeah. So they weren't doing all the extras like shaving.
I didn't have time to do that. Oh no.
Right. So they weren't under quite a lot of pressure then.
They really were.
Yeah. Mm.
Anyway, my mother, father, next door neighbours, and the girl I love came. You know, and whether she thought she'd going to see a hero in bed with her. But they do, you know.
Nice clean bandage around your head.
I seemed to be higher than all the rest. I was raised a bit, you know, because everybody else seemed to be lower down. And I stank. I heard out of my father, said, God, he said, my son, you know, and my girlfriend. You know.
Mm.
I wish she hadn't come.
She's
probably that's not the wife, probably.
Not the wife,
we've been married 10 years.
Yeah, right, yeah. I suppose she forgave you, though, yeah.
But
yes, I mean, that doesn't seem really very impressive, does it, that they couldn't find someone to go around and wash the soldiers.
Because when I wrote to her afterwards, I said, I wish I'd known you were coming, I could have done something. I couldn't do anything myself.
No.
It took me half an hour to turn over.
Yeah.
That brings me to another thing. I was feeling a bit better, and there was an empty bed next to me. And some pillows there not being used, you see. So I reached over. Gradually, it was just slowly, you know, because I couldn't move a lot. I'd had my operation stitched up, you see. And I just managed to reach the pillow. I got this awful pain. Just like a cramp.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was afraid to move, you know. And I was shouting out, and I was swearing. It was Sunday night, I think. Shit, I suppose this so-and-so doctor has gone to the so-and-so pictures and I'm in so-and-so pain. I was really swearing badly. I didn't realise the sister, one of these beauties, was standing at the end of the bed. And I was hanging on to the division, you know, between where we went to the ablutions, I was hanging on there. And eventually they got the Canadian lads, you know, and the sergeant major to come along. They had a stretcher and... on a trolley, and they lifted me out of the bed, and but as I left the bed, the whole thing was red.
Really?
Yeah, I was bleeding. Oh, they had a hemorrhage, you see. Pillows, the whole lot was just soaking red. And so they laid this one officer, he put a pad of knelt on it, and I raised the roof. Oh, I screamed it with the pain, yeah. And then they gave me the old chloroform, and it was terrible. Next morning I woke up. I had a thing in my mouth so you could breathe, you know,
yeah.
A pipe, you know, and felt awful.
Mm.
And my brother and sister came to see me. I said, try to go away, I don't want to see you. It was that bad, yeah. Anyway, after that, glad you got better, moved from there to, I'll say, to Leeds, yeah.
I mean, you must have been quite angry at getting wounded, because you were out of it then, weren't you?
Yeah.
You miss everything else. And
yeah, I got letters from my mates occasionally that told me what was going on.
Did you?
Yeah.
So, from Leeds Hospital, you were then moved to...
Well, that was Seacroft, went to Scarcroft. That's another thing, yeah.
That's in Leeds as well, is it?
But the best part of it was when you were laid out, I'll say it was about 6 months altogether, and they said, well, you can get up today and try walking around the bed, you know. It took all you could do to walk around the bed. But gradually you improve, and eventually you had leave. I think it was a week, what it was. But the officer that was paying me, I was in his office, and he was here with another bombardier. It was all artillery. And he said to this bombardier, have you got any change, bombardier? No, sir, he said, sorry. So he went off out. And the major went out. I was standing there with this pay book in my hand. And he came back in, but it closed up, you know, and there's two notes poking out of it. One's green and one's brown. I thought, opened it up, there's 30 bob in there, not £2. He's going to pay me £2. There was 30 shillings there. And he knew he was doing it, robbing me. So I said, there's only 30 shillings here, sir. Oh! He went off out and got some more money, but that's...
Really?
Daylight robbery, mere wounded.
Yeah.
And he'd probably never been anywhere.
Yeah.
Deliberate.
Where was he from? Was that from some special...
God knows where,
from,
yeah. Some drop
clerical
out.
Bit.
Some
yeah.
drop out.
Mm. Some clerical bit where they
yeah,
pay
yeah.
people in the hospital department. Yeah. That's right, yeah. Amazing. So from Scarcroft, you were still in hospital... in bed at Scarcroft.
Yeah.
And you were there for a while.
Yeah.
And then you went to where?
Just before Christmas, staying to here. The QA, the big hospital, local hospital.
Right.
Queen Alexandra, yeah.
Right, and that's officially where, in Portsmouth?
Cosham. Cosham.
Cosham.
Yeah. C-O-S-H-A-M, yeah. Yeah.
Right, so you moved there, and that was a great improvement, was it?
Oh, yes. I was the only one with two legs in the ward.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Chap next to me used to have his stump, and used to sit up there, and he said, I think I'll part it in the middle today. And he had some hairs on his legs, he used to part them, you know. No, but I was the only one with two legs.
Yeah.
And I can't forget Christmas Day when we were going out. We were around one of these emergency water supplies, like a big tank, you know, water.
What, is this out in the grounds? Or
yeah.
Yeah.
And we'd made these little boats in the therapy there, made these little wooden sailing ships with sails on. And you see these chaps with crutches and hopping around this thing, blowing these little boats across here. I say I had two legs, the only one.
So what was the atmosphere like there? I mean, everybody...
Happy now,
yeah,
but...
Everyone was in the same boat, I suppose.
But there was a chap there, an airborne chap, you know, and he'd been injured, his ankle, I think he'd had his foot off or something, and he'd go away for his operation and come back moaning all the time. He said, this is a Ministry of Pensions hospital, it was that one. Not a ministry, whatever you like to call it, MOD hospital. This was Ministry of Pensions. You wore a black tie and not a red tie. And he had gangrene in his leg, okay? They cut cutting little bits off. And they cut off past his knee and keep going up. And he said, if they cut my leg off at the start, he said, they'd better pay me more money. Because of his pension expectations... They're cutting off little bits at a time, he said. If the gangrene gets out of my body, that's me dead, he said. They can't cut any more off. I don't know what happened to him, but that's typical of them. Yeah.
So lots of physiotherapy there and occupational therapy. And
yeah, you used to have a weight on your leg, a big weight, and you'd sit there and lift it up, you know, and do things. You know,
Was your leg was damaged, was it?
Mid bottom.
Oh,
that's where it got hit lower back,
yeah,
you understand.
Yeah, yeah.
But the operation then took him bottom. I suppose if you'd looked at the operation, you'd think I'd had a new hip or something.
Yes, it's large scars, getting your mobility back, into that leg, so lots of lifting.
Yeah, strengthening it,
What was that like? I mean, were they sort of enthusiastic and helpful, the physios, or was it a bit like PT?
No, it's very good, And it's funny, later on, when I left there, when I became a bus driver, because I was working with the bus firm before the war, one of my passengers was the physio man. He's so pleased to see me. I was one of his customers, and there I was, pushing a bus around here.
Yeah, working, That's good, That's the object, isn't it? Yeah. So, how long were you in Queen Alexander's Hospital?
A few months, I really don't know.
So, at the end of your medical treatment then, what did they...
Well, you got an assessment. You had to go down to Hilsey Barracks and you had to walk up and down naked. Well, they examined you, you had to walk to and fro, turn around, walk back, and I was to limp. Because I used to go down on one side, So I thought, I should be discharged now, with a good pension or something, No, C2, they said, which means you're still in. So from there, I had to go to Woolwich, which was the artillery headquarters.
Right,
And supposed to get sorted out for jobs then, And while I was at Woolwich, I wanted to go home, naturally, because the German prisoners of war that were located in and around London used to carry on when the V2s and V1s came over, So every night there was a load of fellas went out guarding them. But I couldn't go. I had a chit, Excuse boots, if you like.
Yeah, you can understand.
So I got fed up with being there. And one weekend I thought I'd go home. And I'd noticed one way to get out of Woolwich was to have a towel under your arm. And these chaps were obviously going to swimming bath or laundry or whatever. Towel under my arm, later I went, Caught a bus down to the next station, got on the train there, went through Woolwich, past the MPs, the police, and came home, and then, I can tell you this, came home, and like that, Sunday night I went back, and my bed was gone, and the other people in there said, that's what they do here, mate, I said, you go to the bedding stores now, get your bedding. And you're automatically on a charge then, So, fair enough, I've been home, I was happy enough. Going to pay for my little escapade. Anyway, next morning, 9 o'clock, in the commander's office, battery commander's office. And first man to give his evidence, of course, was the fellow that missed me, And he said, sir, at 8 o'clock Sunday morning, he'd gone round to the accused's bedspace and he wasn't, his bed was unmade, it was still made up, rather. He wasn't there, obviously gone. So, it was a captain, said, and what have you got to say? I said, sir, I went to the early morning service, went to church, first early morning. And it must have really hit him. He said, I think you're lying, Bombardier. Because by now I'd lost my lance stripe. You've got to keep it for over 4 months to keep it. Anyway, he said, I think you're lying, Bombardier. If he said, which church did you go to? Or what, anything at all, I'd be right in it, but he didn't. So after that, got posted to Newcastle, or Gosforth. To another unit, a holding unit.
Oh, yeah.
Where they teach you how to fire the rifle and throw the grenade and stuff like that, which we've been doing all this time. It was rather annoying to all us chaps.
Yes.
And they had a scheme then called the Sir Wonko scheme. It's made up of surplus, warrant officers, NCOs. You do it together. Sir Wonko, okay. Yeah. We're on the Sir Wonko, and then there was warrant officers and all sergeants, corporals. That's right, it was no gunners, just corporals, NCOs. And sometime it'd be your turn to take the parade. And there'd be a whole lot of fellas there, including warrant officers. You know, from the name, you know, doing the business, you know. Anyway, while we're there, we're doing fatigues. We used to go down to Newcastle town, something I call it. Anyway, where there's some open cast mining going on, and we had to get these great lumps of sandstone and take them back to the camp and make a rockery, you know. And anyway, supposed to be there for 6 weeks. I was there for 6 months, because every time you're picked out, right, you've been here long enough, they want somebody down at on the ranges, for instance, to work, you know, find a job for you, see. I'd have to go to the MO and he'd look at me bum and he'd say, you're not going, yeah. So I was still there 6 months later and they said, right, we can't find your job, we're going to let you go. And that was it.
Oh,
right. Yeah.
So you were...
That was my army career.
So what were your feelings about the way the army had treated you?
I accepted it, you know, I just accepted it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So where have we got up to now? Is the war ended yet?
Yeah. Oh no, still going on.
No, we're
yeah.
still into early 45.
That's right, yeah, August 45, I'm at.
August 45, yeah,
okay. Yeah. So what happened is I go back to the buses, and now I'm old enough to be a driver, you see.
Yeah.
So I'm actually in the army still on leave, and I'm getting paid by the bus company, yeah, so I was quite happy.
Good one, yeah.
I didn't get a pension. At least I had to get I got a miniature pension. I think it was 8 shillings a week for about 14 months or something like that, or 14 shillings a week for 8 months, I forget. It was only a pittance, you know.
Right. Yeah. So you stayed driving buses?
Yeah, for 6 years, in which time
years.
I got married.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But of course, not to my lovely girlfriend.
Uh-huh.
And that was on account of her getting married. I just married the first woman I met, if you like. So after a while...
You're not the first, you might be the last.
After a while, I got, she was always nagging me, you know. She said, I don't know why you're always so tired. You just sit there in a bus going like this. Why should you be tired? And so nag all the time. I thought, well, I'll join the Air Force. I went off and joined the Air Force.
Right, so
and
when
they
was
accepted
that?
Me.
Really?
Yeah.
When was that?
About 23rd of October. I've got another paper book somewhere. 1951.
So why
and even
did you
though
want
I was
join the Air Force?
Well, a job away from home, and I knew she'd get a marriage as I went, you see.
Yeah.
So it was an escape for me.
Right, yeah.
And I became young, you'd be surprised. Because when I joined, I was 31. And all the other young chaps had just joined, were 17, 18.
Right.
I just showed them how to put their collars on, you know, the studs.
Yeah.
I'd never seen them before. And,
so where did you
Cardington.
Get sent? Cardington.
That's where I joined.
That's Cambridge,
yeah.
Is it? No?
Bedfordshire, isn't it?
Bedfordshire.
Yeah.
Cardington.
Yeah.
Right. So what was that like then? You went in as a new recruit, as it were?
Yeah, but they said, as your ex-service, you won't do the whole training, you know,
right.
The 8 weeks. You'd only do six or something.
Right.
I did the full eight
yeah.
weeks.
Yeah.
At Bridge North, which was a hell of a place.
Really?
Yeah.
It never sounds sunny.
They taught you how to march and slow bombs and all that sort of stuff.
So you did the same sort of
full training,
basic
yeah.
training as you've done
yeah.
in the army, really,
yeah.
in a lot of ways. Yeah.
Yeah.
What were the differences from the army?
Well, in the army, when you did drill movements, if you sloped arms, it's one, two, like that, one, two. In the Air Force, it's left, right. But, you know, it's...
Yeah.
But I didn't like the Air Force. It was so easy after being a soldier.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
And mates used to say, "Hey, are you always first in an FAQ?" Oh, no.
Years of practice,
yeah. Yeah.
So what did they teach you in the way of training?
Oh, I became an MT fitter.
Right.
Motor transport, you see. And as I used to point out to the others, I said, when you're a soldier, they train you to be a killer. You know, it only occurred to me, you know, after many years, you know, when I was in the RAF, I said, you're trained to kill Germans or Japs, I think. But in this lot, the Air Force, I said, drill holes in metal or wood or, you know, you're a technician, you see. I joined at a very good time.
Yes, yeah.
I got my corporal stripes in, less than 2 years. Yeah.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm. So after Bridge North, you went where?
Where's Bridge North? Oh, yeah. then into queer place. Saint Devil.
Sorry?
Saint Devil, which is Newquay, Cornwall. Okay. Yeah, Saint Devil. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a four-engined. I liked it then, yeah.
Yeah.
Coastal Command, yeah.
Right. So what were your duties there?
My first job was to paint a Land Rover, not a Land Rover, a Jeep. Mm. I had to paint airfield crash rescue on it, you know, and that was good, you know. And then the Air Force was so stupid, honestly.
Why is that? You can say what you
You get away with what you liked in the RAF.
Really?
Well, there's two Air Forces. Mm. The real Air Force are the ones that fly, of course,
yeah.
You know, but
yeah.
As Erics on the ground, it was...
Really?
It was a doddle, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, I remember an exercise we were on. Everyone's got to be involved. Everybody. CO down to the lowest WAF. You know, the WAFs on that station. And my job was out on the airfield on, oh dear, what do they call it? GCA, ground control approach. It's a gadget, big radar thing. It can land an airplane in thick fog. You know, it can see it down on radar.
Yeah.
And my job was going to be out with them. So I'm out there with this little unit. My job was to start the big generators up, change them over each day. You know, big diesels. You had to swing them. I mean, you're wounded. I have to do it. Didn't know. Anyway, this big exercise came. So everyone's going to be on it. No excuses. Nobody whatsoever. Oh, I didn't go on it. So I said to the flight sergeant in charge at GCA, I says, can I have a rifle then, Sarge, you know, flight, because, you know, no, she don't belong to me, go back to MT. I was only sort of seconded out to them, you know, so I go back to MT, you know, so can I have a rifle and flight, no, he said, you belong to GCA, he said. I went straight to bed. I mean, what? Nobody wanted me.
No.
And it was a bad night because it was banging all night and then thunder flashes and girls screaming and God knows where else. But I was the only one that didn't go on that. Good training, army training, yeah.
Yeah. So, and you carried on doing MT?
Yeah. And then another thing you can do in the RAF, but you can't do in the army, you can do an exchange with someone else, you see.
Oh.
There was this chap I knew in the day at St. Devil. He said, here, he said, there's a mate of mine who lives at Bodmin, which is just up the road, and he's stationed at Odium. And he said, do you want to do an exchange with him? I said, well, can you? Yeah. So, I never saw the chap, never met him.
Yeah.
You had to make your own way up there on his old motorbike. And, so I went to Odium and he came down to St. Devil. It was so cushy, honestly.
Is that Odium? Is that Hampshire? Is it?
Yeah, just up the road, Basingstoke, near Basingstoke, yeah.
That's right. I knew I'd been there, but I don't remember where I'd been going when I went there. Yeah. Right. So, and you just carried on doing motor transport?
Yeah, get promotion.
With what rank?
I was a corporal as soon as I got to. Well, I was a corporal before I went to Odium, yeah.
Right.
That's
right. Mm-hmm. Then you were promoted again?
Eventually, yeah. It was funny. Where was I? I think I was in Cyprus at the time. First posting was Ceylon.
Oh, right. You
from Odium.
Yeah.
Great, yeah.
Yeah, everyone says Ceylon's long.
2.5 years, yeah.
Right. So what were you doing there? Where were you based?
Negombo, or Katanayaka. Negombo. And, it was quite good. Family was out there. I had two children by then. Mm-hmm. And they enjoyed it. And my son thought it was great to pick up coconuts off the ground, you know. He didn't realise every time I pick up a coconut, there's a busy scorpion underneath. But anyway, he enjoyed that. And one day, my daughter, we used to finish at 1 o'clock. And coming back. And just ride my bike down to the billet. And I saw her near the school. And at 1 o'clock, he used to just get back indoors, just your shorts on and flop it on the bed, you know. And she said, Dad, Dad, snake, you know, snake. So I thought it was up at the school, you know. So I went out and picked up the, everyone was issued with a walking stick for snakes and centipedes. And she was outside of the house, and the snake was looking at her like that, as tall as she was.
Yeah.
You know, and she's saying, "Snake!" So I just had a go at it, you know. But it was a harmless one, I should think. It was, when it crossed the road, its tail was in one drain and its head was in another. So it was quite a long thing, about 12 or 15 foot long. Yeah. But she'd never forget that.
No, I bet she wouldn't. Yeah. So where were you actually based in Ceylon? Sorry, you did tell
me. Negombo.
How do you spell that? N-G, is it?
E-G. N-E-G.
N-E-G.
O-M-B-O.
Okay. And what sort of a station was that?
Well, it was hacked out of a coconut plantation.
Mm.
You know, you wouldn't see it walking up the road, looking along the road. It was, you know, it was just a stretch of, you know, I don't know whose it was, I suppose. We never lost Ceylon, did we? It was probably one of our... bomber stations or fighter station, and it just had this PSP,
right.
You know, PSP, perforated steel plate,
right.
For the aircraft to land on, you know, where they sunk into, because a lot of rain out there,
yeah.
Monsoon rain.
Yeah. And what squadrons were there? I mean, did you were based at the station and then
we were
an
MU,
yeah.
We were a maintenance
in
unit.
Yeah,
I shan't forget that, will I? One day, they said, "Would I help out in workshops?" You know, and so I was in workshops when the what was he there? Not admiral, really. I've forgotten. You see, vice marshal. He was in charge of transport command anyway,
yeah.
And he wasn't as tall as me, but he was about twice as wide. They used to call him Square. Andrew McKee, I think his name McKee. Anyway. And he flew out in a comet. That's why we had a comet then. And I was working in this place, and they said they wanted to make up a pair of steps, because they get out of. You know, they don't come out of the crew, the troops enter and exit. You know, had to get his own little front end. So they made up this, they modified this unloading step thing, and made. They got the profile of the. Aircraft, you know, made this perfect to fit it. So when he arrived, of course, they pushed this thing up and he stepped out quite happily. He was already backside otherwise. Anyway, when it's time to go back, they found that this thing wouldn't fit anymore. And they're all scratching their heads, stood around, and I'm just a corporal at this time, you know. Scratching their heads. It fitted perfectly before, and it's nowhere near it now. It was too high. I said, "Well, the aircraft's full of fuel now." And of course, it had gone down with the weight. That's the Air Force, they're thick.
You don't seem to have a lot of regard for the Air Force.
None whatsoever. I can forget I was in the Air Force.
Yeah. Was that because you were in it in peacetime, do you think?
Probably, yeah. Probably.
Because there wasn't a stress. Yeah. I don't know what the Air Force was engaged in, you know, were you.
Wartime?
Well, no, I mean, in. In the 50s, you know, when you were in Ceylon.
Well, I was always MT, so when I come back from Ceylon, went to Uphaven.
Mm-hmm.
That was a nice station, because I was used to model flying there, it was very good. But it was a flying station, you know, they had... the first station, of course, was very good, they had these meteor jets.
Oh, yes.
I used to love watching them.
Lost a meteor.
Yeah.
Yeah, local.
Yeah, and then, as I say, I went to Cyprus, yeah.
Yeah. And after Cyprus?
To Uphaven.
Uphaven,
yeah.
And then?
After Uphaven, where I go up? Because they didn't keep you long in the row.
Right.
2.5 years here, 2.5 years there.
Yeah.
So you didn't meet many people to make friends with.
No.
You know, you meet an old mate after many years, I'd say many years, you've forgotten his name. You know,
yes.
But you know
yeah,
each other.
Just where you're going, yeah.
Not the same as the army, where you were part of a big family.
Yes, you were in a regiment, yeah. You knew where you belonged, yeah. So you went to various stations in the RAF.
Yeah.
Right, okay, I'll just close this. Frank Quelch, end of Reel 5.